Let's go more a little bit into the new variants and subvariants. And I'm going to go with Stefan Bensel. Let's talk about vaccine development, because we've heard how it happened, obviously, with COVID-19 starting from 2022, and how extraordinary the process was also in terms of the speed. How is development, adoption, and scaling of vaccine going on when it comes for different variants and subvariants? Because this is one of the big concerns. As we're all here now and we're discussing, we understand the context, and this is a great deal.
Sure. Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on the panel. So the great news versus 2020, where we are today, is we have manufacturing capacity. As Seth knows, when the pandemic happened, Moderna had made 100,000 doses in 2019 for the whole year. And I remember walking after Davos into the office of my head of manufacturing, and I say, how we make 1 billion doses next year? And he look at me a bit funny, say, what? I say, yeah, we need to make 1 billion doses next year. There's going to be a pandemic. And so where we are now is, you know, we have plants in the US and in Switzerland. We've shown this summer that we're able to adapt to variants very quickly. If you think about it, you know, in the US, Peter Marks told us on June 28, we want for the US a BA5 Omicron booster. And by early September on Labor Day weekend, it was in US pharmacies, which kind of 60 days, which kind of, in the old world of vaccines, would have been
years.
Yeah,
yes, 5 years.
Easily.
Unthinkable. And I was just telling Seth before this discussion that I'm very excited that over Christmas, Moderna bought a Japanese company that has developed a new technology, new science from Tokyo University, to shrink by 2 more weeks the time to get from deciding the sequence to having products ready. So it will not be ready for this summer for the booster that we're going to need in the fall of 23, but potentially by the fall of 24 it might be ready. And so we keep on working on technologies to improve that. The other piece that we are working on also, because Seth and I had many, many discussions over the last 3 years, as you can imagine, is how do we build manufacturing capacity around the world. You know, we had a lot of export restriction during the pandemic, which was really, really painful for a lot of obvious reasons. Even from countries who say we will not limit exports, trust me, they were. And so we're very excited now that we are building a factory in Canada. We already broke ground in the fall. We're building a factory in Australia. We are going to start a factory this quarter in the UK. And we're also going to start building a factory in Kenya. We're talking to a couple more countries, because I would really like on every continent to have mRNA capacity. Because the amazing thing about mRNA is you can use the same facility, the same plant, the same machines to make any vaccine you want. For example, you know, last night we announced we have positive data on our RSV vaccine for phase 3, with a very high 84% you know, efficacy on the vaccine. As many of you know, there's no vaccine against RSV, and too many people get sick and die every year of RSV, both in the elderly and also it's a big problem for toddlers. And so we can use exactly the same machines in the same plant to make the other vaccine. So the flexibility is what I think also gives me hopes, not only for the variants that nature might throw at us, but also for other vaccines.